A Nightingale in the Sycamore by Jane Beaufort. Narrated by Jerry Allen for Saga Egmont. It stood beside the river where it had stood for several centuries, and the fact that it was a golden, sun-drenched afternoon meant nothing at all to its weathered thatch. It was used to golden, sun-drenched afternoons, and it was used to mushroom mornings, when the mist rose over the river, and the water meadows between it and the reeds where the kingfishers darted like sapphire brooches were blanketed with something that looked like cotton wool, and would only disappear when the sun's rays penetrated it. It was used to frost and snow, and bleak and biting winds. It was used to warm flower scents, the lazy droning of bees, and the sweeping voice of the scythe when it severed the long grass in the orchard. But none of these things ever seriously affected Meadow House. Adverse or friendly circumstances passed off it without disturbing any vibrations at the heart and core of it. It just went on being Meadow House, and dreaming away the 365 days of a year without being aware, apparently, of their passing. Not so, however, Midge, sitting on the low orchard wall and slowly sucking peppermints. He was so much affected by the recollection of that letter which had swept through the letterbox while they were having breakfast that morning that his sandy brows were drawn together in a frown, and he felt really disturbed. He could see the letter now, on the dining room mantelpiece, where his auntie Ginny had stuck it after she had read it through twice, and looked while she was reading it as if someone had struck her an unexpected blow from behind. Midge only sucked peppermints when he was upset about something. As a rule, he preferred bullseyes or strips of licorice like bootlaces, which were economical because they cost less than bullseyes and lasted considerably longer. But peppermints, hard, round, white peppermints, purchased in little tubes, he did not like, although he found that they aided thought and were useful to have by one for an emergency. He was quite sure that an emergency had arisen that morning. Auntie Ginny, or Virginia, as she was really called, was not one to panic easily, and after living with her for 2 years, he knew every expression that crossed her face, and every shade and inflection that ever entered her voice. Usually her expression was calm and untroubled, even placid, beneath the level line of her brows, that was slightly darker than her hair, and her hair was about 2 shades darker than her sister Iris's, which was as near being flax white as made no difference. But whereas Iris's eyes were an unclouded larkspur blue, Aunt Virginia's were grey and thoughtful, and the merest suggestion of a cloud seemed to hide behind them sometimes when she thought no one, certainly not shrewd, small, brown-faced boys who went by the name of Midge, was looking. And if Iris's complexion made most people think of a drift of apple blossom, Aunt Virginia's recalled those creamy white butterflies that hover about the roses at the time of high summer. Or that was Midge's unasked opinion. Midge had long since constituted himself his Aunt Virginia's most devoted admirer, and everything that affected her affected him acutely. He could see Iris struggling with a puncture in the inner tube of her bicycle without burning to go to her assistance, but if Aunt Virginia asked him to fill a coal bucket, he simply leapt to obey her behest. He scrubbed potatoes for her when he was not at school, and helped make the beds, and even dusted her precious china ornaments in the drawing room with great thoroughness when he was permitted. And when she sat up late doing what she called her accounts, he listened to the mounting chimes of the grandfather clock in the hall and wished she would go to bed. He carried trays to the people in the orchard when they stopped for tea in response to an inviting sign that had been recently placed there as a bait for motorists, and collected the 3-penny bits under the saucers afterwards. His money box was quite heavy when he rattled it nowadays, and he thought he would buy a present for Auntie Virginia when it was really full. But the memory of this morning was somehow unpleasantly disturbing. The letter had come through the letterbox with the other letters, and Virginia had read it while she sipped her coffee. Her face, when she started to read, had looked almost hopeful.